Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hate. War and poverty. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. Oh no, we gotta change it. What is this to me? I need a little help. Need a little help. Need some help, y'all. Change the world. What is this to me? Can't do it alone.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to Mother's Milk. You're listening to me, the host, Samia Safia Muhammad, and wish to wish everybody peace. Assalamu alaikum. And we just came off of a wonderful weekend here in Atlanta, the Family Summit Conference hosted by our sister AT, who we had on a couple of weeks ago. It was a great success. There were so many opportunities to hear from just all kinds of people about what was going on, what's been going on in our community, and the strides and progress that we're making and the strides and progress that we need to make. On Friday, we started the conference in the afternoon with an interdenominational prayer service. So we had a Hebrew Israelite brother speak and a brother from the Native nation that was here in Georgia before Columbus and the gang came busting it up. He did a prayer. He chanted a prayer, and it was so interesting because a lot of times when our Native brothers do their chants and their prayers, it's like, hey, yeah, hey, yeah. But this was more like a gospel song, and it was so familiar, and I have to listen to it again because I kept missing the tune. I could hear it, and I'm like, what song is that he's singing? So I got a chance to speak to him very briefly yesterday afternoon, and I said, you know, what you were singing was, there's a hymn like that, a so-called Negro spiritual like that. So we have to investigate. But that was Friday, and then it was followed by Juma prayer. And while the brother was speaking, he was talking about some of the brothers from the nation who had visited him and gone into the sweat lodge with him and his grandfather And he said it got so hot in there. He said it gets so hot in the sweat lodge that you get to the point where you just are ready to run up out of there. He said, and he told the brothers, he said, when you get to feeling so hot that you just want to give up, he said, just put your face to the earth, to the ground, he said, and it will be cooler. So as the brothers were doing that, it recalled to them and then to him later on when he saw our prayer service that, oh, my God, this is what the Muslims do when they go into the position we call sajda, when you put your head and your face to the ground. So it was showing the similarities that we have and that we must build on, because when Master Father Muhammad came here in 1930 and tested the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in 1933-34, he asked him a question, and what was the population of the original nation? And it was 17 million with the 2 million Indians. So the so-called Indians are the native original people from here, and us must move together to this next phase of our reality in this country that is being destroyed as we speak. So I want to greet you again with the greetings of peace. As-salamu alaykum. The weekend covered many topics and many workshops, but of course there were two events that stood out greater than anything. The Omega Sci-Fi chapter here in Atlanta gave the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan a Lifetime Achievement Award, and I thank these brothers for that, because it takes courage to stand in the public with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. There are many who visit him in the night, you know, in the darkness where the media cameras and people can't see and don't know, and they sneak to him and go for counsel. But to stand with him during the day in the broad daylight and say, this is our brother, this is our teacher and guide, and be willing to give him a Lifetime Achievement Award is very special. They also gave him the founder's robe. It was a purple, you know, their colors are purple and gold. It was a purple robe. And if you go to NOI.org, you can look at this live and see it for yourself. It's worth looking at, because the words that were said by the various brothers were words of courage and encouragement. The minister was given the robe. They put it on him, and then he gave his talk of our to the people of our the necessity of us doing for self and doing what we need to do to help each other in unity. So it was a very beautiful. That was Saturday evening, and then of course Sunday he gave the keynote address, and it was, since it was a family gathering, he spoke of true family and what it takes to become a true strong family. He spoke of his relationship. He spoke of Master Faraz's relationship with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and then he spoke of his relationship with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and how he submitted his will to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to such an extent that it was as a woman would to a husband, in the sense of being there to help him attain the goals that he needed to attain, and to be willing to listen and let him be an authority over his in guiding him. So it was a beautiful, beautiful speech. Yesterday the place was packed, of course, and he spoke of what it meant to actually love someone. And I recommend that every young person who is not married listen to this. I recommend that if you are newly married, you listen to this. I recommend that if you have been married for a long time, that you look, listen, and then reassess what's going on in your life and make the adjustments so that you can attain what he was speaking of. He spoke of when you love, the proof of your love is your work, not what you say, but what you actually do to help this person who you claim that you love, through guidance, through support, through ideas, through the willingness to not go for things. We've come up in a society now where things are more important than people, where we'll kill each other over shoes, over cars, over even a burger. You know, this is how crazy we've become in the past 20, 30 years. It was not like this in the 70s and the 60s. We have begun to truly, I'll say this. Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, history is best qualified to reward our research. We must know from whence we come, minus the TV, in Hollywood's version of who we are. We need to sit back and we must read these things to our children. We must let them know what it was like for us. There are wonderful books that have been written by authors who can give you a glimpse of what our true love was like. Wake of the Wind by, I just forgot the lady's name. I'll come back to that. The Wake of the Wind. Julius Lester, he's got three books, To Be a Slave, This Strange New Feeling, and The Long Journey Home. And they all are based on true stories of what happened during and after slavery, and the love that we had for each other, and the love and the sense of community once we got out of the clutches of the slave masters. We have to understand fully, thoroughly, what happened to us and how that is affecting us today. It's in our DNA, people. You know, the Honorable Minister Farrakhan asked us to take up the study of Dianetics, which is a way to go into the mind and have someone recall something that happened to them in that, and bring it to a state of presence where they can look at it, feel it, and deal with it. And in that type of setting, we begin to understand that when there is pain connected with an experience, it not only affects the mind, it can be coded into the DNA. So what we are fighting in ourselves are things that were implanted on the very cells of our being. So we need to go study this. This is not poppycock. This is scientific fact. It is beginning to be revealed. You know, there are times when you look at somebody like, wait a minute, I got this feeling about this person. I don't know this person. But there's something that happened somewhere in your lifetime that's getting re-triggered and re-stimulated because you're looking at this person, or this person has done some motion that reminds you of something else. So we must understand that white supremacy ruined us, not only us as African American people, but the natives who were here. There are very few of the original people here. Some of those people's nations were totally wiped out. They killed millions of people to take this land. So when you hear, see, we have to stay aware, because we're hollering about the Confederate flag, but hell, the Confederate flag only lasted a few years compared to the United States flag that we held under ever since it had 13 stars on it. So let's not get this thing twisted, people. It's the whole system that the country was built on. The country was built on our backs. How white people got rich. Jews selling blacks. The secret relationship between blacks and Jews. Go read and understand what you are looking at so we will not be tricked again. One of the principles of history is that history repeats itself. And it won't repeat itself only if you are aware of what's going on, what happened, and when you see it again, you stop and you speak out. No, we're not going through this. We're not doing this. Nope, I don't want to hear this because this happened before, and A and B and C and D happened, so we're going to stop this at A. Okay? Don't let anybody say, oh, you're a racist. No, 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 no. We're not racist. We are aware. We are awake. And guess what? Y'all don't own us anymore. So since you don't own us anymore and we are free, we are going to accept our own and be ourselves and take care of ourselves like we did before. You have to go and look at the amount of progress that we made in a 10-year period from 1865 to 1877. Black people were moving. Here were the people that they said were animals. You got to remember that in that time period from 1555 until 1865, it was illegal. It was against the law, under the threat of death if you picked up a book. If you were found reading, you could be killed by law. It was illegal for you to read. And here we come out of slavery, and in less than 11 years, we've got towns, we've got scholars who have set up schools. Don't let anybody fool you into thinking that we have been sitting on our behinds in America doing absolutely nothing. Don't believe that hype. This is what they sell our brothers and sisters around the world. So when they come here, they're looking at us with a jaundiced eye, with an eye that say, them niggas ain't worth nothing. Okay? That's what they're saying because that's what they were fed. And then they come here and they look down their nose at us, and about maybe 9 months into this thing, they go, damn, wait a minute, hold it. This is how this is? Oh, well, we could have told you if you'd come and asked us. It's like somebody coming into your house and walking in and talking about, oh, your dishes are dirty and da-da-da-da-da-da. Excuse me, we just had a party and you walked in when dinner was just finished. My house doesn't look like this all the time. Do you understand? So this is what happens when our people come here from Africa, from parts of the Caribbean, from our people from all over the world, because they have been taught by the white supremacists that the black man is still a nigger. Okay? So we need to stop some of this behavior. Just bring it to a halt. Stop. Stop it. You say, well, I can't stop it. Let me tell you something. The teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the life-giving teachings, brought drug addicts to an awareness where they went into rooms and locked themselves in for 3 days and kicked heroin and then came out and were perfect citizens for the rest of their lives. Don't tell me we can't stop not loving each other. We can't stop cussing at each other. We can't stop mistreating our women and girls our women and girls now bullying and mistreating each other. We need to stop it. We need to stop it. There was a God that helped us come through. There was a faith in something bigger than ourselves that helped us come through all that when there was no light at the end of that tunnel. You talking about 350 years, 20 generations of people being born in slavery with no way out except to run away and leave people because you couldn't take everybody with you. People, we owe a debt of gratitude to whoever is in our lineage that survived so that we can stand here today. When you say your prayers this tonight or in the morning, thank God for them. Every time I'm in the street in Georgia and it's burning hot, and I'm like, darn, it's hot. And I just, my mind automatically goes back to those who were on those plantations who may have gotten 2 dippers of water a day, who are being fed gruel, some cornmeal, and that's all they had, with a little piece of pork, and they survived, and they grew strong, and they grew stronger in faith. We have to thank them every single day of our lives, and through our changing of our behavior, let them know we appreciate all the sacrifices they made for us. We have to do this. What is going on in our community has got to stop. We have got to stop it. Ain't no mystery God. Ain't nobody floating out the sky to stop it. We have got to say, excuse me, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Is that your garbage you just dropped? Can you pick that up, please? There's a garbage can right there. And if they won't pick it up, then you pick it up. See, we got to make that positive move. The minister said love is to do something. You cannot love without action and doing. You show your love by your works. He said all this romantic mess that we're talking about, no, that's not it. That's not it. He talked about when a man and a woman love each other and they come together and create children that they will give their lives for, then those children grow up and repeat that same cycle. That's what we need right now. Don't miss. Go to NOI.org. Listen to yesterday's lecture. Listen. Humble yourself long enough to internalize it. And if he says something that steps on your toes, okay, just get it, you know. If the shoe fits, then, you know, and it pinches, get up another pair of shoes. Change. Change whatever behavior that he points to that is not productive for us as a whole. It is the time we're living in. Let me tell you, these white supremacist people ain't playing with you. They don't care. As you can see, if you did not see it for yourself, go to NOI.org and look at the final call paper from 2 weeks ago when this man ran that car into that crowd of people. There are brothers flying up in the air through that car. The shot catches them midair. What is in your heart that you feel that you have a right to run over human beings who are only saying, hey, stop calling me nigga. Hey, stop lynching us. Hey, stop worshiping the statues of men who killed thousands of people in the name of trying to keep my ancestors enslaved. Don't allow the mass media, your friends, or whatever you're looking and listening to. Stay woke, people. Wake up. Wake up and listen and pay attention, because of the time that we're in, if you don't pay attention, you will find yourself in a world of trouble or death. One of the things that the minister said yesterday, he talked about these brothers, you brothers and you sisters even, who are dealing in this sex traffic of our young girls and our young boys, stop it. He put the threat out there. Go listen for yourself. Not going to be tolerated. It's not going to be. All this abuse of men and women. You got women beating up men, men beating. No, stop it. If you can't get along, get away from each other. But stop it, because what you're doing is you are ruining the children who are watching you cuss and fuss and fight and kill one another. You brothers who's running around with all these guns, stop it. That's what your enemy wants you to do. Because you ain't shooting none of them. You shooting each other. And I'm asking the question. I keep asking the question over and over and over again. How are these guns getting in our community? We do not manufacture them. We do not bring them in. Who is bringing them in? Y'all want to petition? Petition that every bullet. Because they just had a survey that went out, a news story that went out, that now they can use forensics to discover by the spin of the bullet that and the way it went into a body what kind of gun it came out of. So guess what they need to do? All those guns are illegal, and the people who are those companies who allow those guns to come into our community, they need to be sued for not taking care of the proper distribution of their property. Because if it was in a white community, if it was coming from someplace legitimate, trust me, they would be suing each other. So Smith & Wesson and all them companies need to be sued for allowing their stock to get out of their sight without keeping tabs on where it's going and how it's being stolen or distributed, because they're not legal. So somebody's stealing them or somebody's giving them away. So we got to stop buying them. Stop. It's just that simple. Stop. Make peace with your brothers. Make peace with your sisters. Talk to each other. 9 times out of 10, whatever the heck you mad about, wasn't that serious. Because if you get down to the truth of it, you'll find out, hey, wait a minute, that wasn't that serious. Oh, I'm sorry. See, we got to be big enough to say to each other, I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry, sister. And before some of you pipe up, you're your sister, prove it. Prove that you're not my sister. There's no way you can. Because if you were African-American born in this country or even born in the Caribbean, we were separated families. You don't know who your real parents are. You don't know who your real ancestors are, because everybody got separated. And if you read this book, I'm telling you, long journey home, brand new, this strange new feeling, you'll find out, oh, we picked up people along the way. Are we walking from the plantation to wherever we ended up? Oh, there's a little baby and his mama. Come on, you family now. We don't know who we're truly related to. You don't know how many brothers and sisters that got sold away from your mama or your great-great-grandma. And let me tell y'all something. They want to say, well, slavery was a long time away. No. It damn sure was not. I happen to look back into my father's history, because he died when I was a very young girl, and I never knew a lot about him. I looked at his death certificate. This man was born in 1910. That's 45 years after slavery ended in America. That means his grandmother, more than likely, 99% likely, that she was a slave in Charleston, South Carolina. That's how close slavery is. Go on back and look, people. It ain't that far away. Don't let nobody tell you, oh, that was a long time ago. No, it started a long time ago, but it daggone sure didn't end a long time ago. Don't let nobody tell you, well, this is not something that's affecting us. My father's mother may have been a slave for all I know, because I don't know how old she was when she had him. Okay? So don't let's not get this stuff twisted. Let's understand what we're looking at. Let's look at the truth of it and be ready to stand on it and fix what we can of what is wrong with us. Understand, we are all ill affected by the abuse, and we're taking it out on each other. Some of us have really lost our minds of recent. We have really gone crazy because we cannot take it anymore, and we don't know who to lash out yet, so we're lashing out at each other. Prayer and patience. But there is no mystery. Got to get up and do something for yourself. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us, do for you. Don't like the way your children are being educated? Hell, we got churches all over the black community that sit empty from Monday to Friday. Ain't nothing happening in big old structures. Go on in there and teach your babies. You got enough educators, people that got all kind of degrees. We got more degrees than we got anything else. Go in there and teach your own babies. You don't like the curriculum they're teaching, you don't like what they're teaching about, then start your own schools. Well, we can. Oh, yes, you can, because the Jews did it. And they're doing it now. Those yeshivas didn't pop up out of the sky. They sent this one to be a doctor, that one to be a lawyer, that one to be a teacher, this one to be that. And then they started whatever they needed to start. You can do the same. Stop sitting back and allowing somebody to control our lives. We cannot continue to do it. The time is too critical. The time is too critical. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back. You're listening to Mother's Milk. My name is Samia Safia Muhammad, and I was talking about the time and what's happening. If you have not done so, start putting away some food. If you're in an area where it floods like it does in Houston and other areas, get you a raft, a boat, something inflatable so that you can survive what's coming at us. It's coming. It's not vain talk. It's going to come. So let's get prepared. You know, there's a show that comes on Black Hole Radio called Disaster Preparedness. Be prepared to listen to that. We have got to know for a surety that what we're looking at is real. It's not a joke. And I'm going to tell you, like I said to my students today, for every 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes that you spend on an electronic device playing games, spend that same amount reading. Parents, take the cell phones from your children when they get in the house. I'm going to say it again. You claim you gave that 7-year-old a cell phone to stay in touch with you, then take it from them, because they can be in touch with you if they're in the same apartment or in the same house. That's why God gave them lungs. They can yell or they can walk into the room where you are. Stop allowing your children to be overcome and overtaken by what is on these cell phones. You don't even know what they're looking at. You don't know what they're looking at. You don't know what they're listening to. You're not even thinking, because all you know, they're out of your hair. We've got to stop that. We've got to start engaging our children again. We have to take time to sit down and be with them. At the dinner table, it's a good place to start. Sit down. Have them cook a meal with you. Yeah, take the time. Okay, you prepare this, I'll prepare that. You know, cooking doesn't take a long time. You just got to do a little planning ahead of time. So if you know you're going to be out all day, then throw the meat out in the morning, or the chicken or the fish. Put it in the refrigerator. By the time you come home, it's ready for you to cook. It don't take a lot to cook. But you have to have the desire, the love of your family enough to give them good, wholesome food. Instead of stopping at all this fast food madness that you have no idea what you're eating. There was an article recently about this pike fish that nobody wanted to eat. And they started putting it in the fish, in the fast food fish. And then it became a million-dollar industry. We got to be careful what we're putting in our stomachs. We got to be careful what we're eating. We got to be careful where we're eating. Make sure you feed your children properly and feed them well. And then sit down at the table and find out what happened to them. How was school? Don't accept find. What does that mean? Fine. What happened? What did you do today? What did you learn? Did you have any trouble with whatever it was you were studying? Yeah, well, you know what? I didn't quite understand. The teacher said blah, 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 blah. Oh, well, let's think about that. Let's talk about it. Or let's look it up together so I can give you an understanding, plus give you our experience in whatever it is that you learned yesterday. Do you all hear me? We have an experience in everything. Every subject, because we are mathematics, we are science, we are history, we are language. And don't be afraid to tell your children the truth. Some of us, oh, I don't want my children to know about what happened. Well, you see us in their face now. All of you who spent the last 30, 35, 40 years trying to run from what happened to us in the 50s, the 40s, the 30s, and back on to when we first got here, you have done your children a disservice because they are unprepared. All that talk about, oh, we live in a post-racial society. No, you do not. When you look in that mirror, do you see a white person? Oh, you don't? Then nobody else does either. Do you see a colorless person when you look in that mirror? Because if you do, there's something wrong with you. If you don't see your little kinky, curly, nappy hair, whatever, however it is, mixed straight, whatever your hair looks like, if you don't see that when you look in the mirror, then you are delusional. If you don't see your coconut brown, chocolate brown, deep chocolate, caramel, French vanilla, whatever complexion you are, if you don't see that when you look in that mirror and you talk about you are colorblind, that is the biggest lie that they could have told you. And you fell for, oh, we're colorblind. No, you mean, I don't want anybody being colorblind. I want them to look and say, I appreciate that color that God made you. If it's coal black, if it's blue black, if it's French vanilla, I appreciate the way God made you. And you, sisters and brothers, have to appreciate and fall in love with however you look. Oh, I'm albino. Well, God made you that way. Yeah, I appreciate that. There was a nice little conference a couple of months ago. These albino black folk, because you know if you're albino and you're black, you still look black, right? You still got the same features. You still got the thick lips, the bushy eyebrow. You still look black even though your skin has no color. And your eyes are red and your hair is blondish. They can look at you, that's a black man. He's of our heritage. Okay? So let's not get this thing twisted. There's no color blindness. Oh, well, Martin Luther King said, let's get judged on the content of our character. When have we ever? Somebody got to know you to judge you on the content of your character. But these people look at you and they see, oh, that's a black woman and I don't like her. Well, that's a black man and I feel threatened by him. I remember being around 8 or 9 years old. And I used to go visit this lady that was my aunt's friend in Connecticut. My aunt worked, so I would stay with this lady during the day and spend some weekends with her. And she heard me talking, because back then, you know, if you were anything, you wanted to be Indian. I'm part Indian, I'm part this, I'm part that, I'm part the other. And you know what she told me? She said, you are only what people see, honey. And they see a young, at that time, colored girl. So be who you are and stop trying to be with everybody else, with a part of everybody else. Just be who you are. Be who you are. Be what you are. Know that you are God's children of the Most High God. We're all little gods. That's what we are, because we reflect him. And as long as we strive to reflect the best that God created in ourselves, then we don't have a problem. We don't have a problem. The problem comes when we try to be other than ourselves. And because we try to be other than ourselves and are angry and disappointed with how God created us, then we take it on other people. So there is no love. There is no love in us for each other. So we mistreat each other. We see each other, and right away we're sizing each other up. Oh, look at what she got on. Oh, who she thinks she is. No, why don't we do that? Because that's what we were trained to do. We had 350 years of this. The lighter ones got to go in the house. The darker ones had to stay in the field. The lighter ones, because they were the slave master's children that he raped some black woman to have, got to go to school, maybe. Read your history. Know it. So you won't be fooled into thinking that, oh, these benevolent people, they don't love you. You know, we have a lesson that says we do not love them regardless of how long they study. Because after they put in a certain amount of study, they can come among us and do trading. And then we got to watch them still. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. These people can be your associates, but they're not your friends. Don't get this thing twisted. Don't get this thing twisted. You can do business with them. Some of y'all have gone ahead and married them. But trust me, at some point in time, they're going to get mad enough to call you a nigga to your face. Okay? Don't get this thing twisted. Know that you have to know who you're dealing with. And they may be nice, okay? But don't trust with your whole heart, because you will be disappointed. Black people, go listen to this tape from yesterday. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan talked about what real love looks like. I can't say it better than him, so you go listen. NOI.org. Yesterday's webcast. Go listen to it. And then sit down and get quiet and ask yourself, what of what he said applies to me? And am I willing, for the sake of myself, my husband, my children, my mother, my father, my ancestors, am I willing to change for the better? Am I willing to stop the behavior that is destroying our community? Am I willing to do that? It's not hard. Just take one step at a time. You ain't got to do it all overnight. Just stop doing that. Oh, if your room is a mess and you're, well, pick up some things. Start organizing. Because, see, you cannot think straight in a messy house. You cannot think straight in a cluttered mind. You cannot be creative if you won't get quiet and listen to the God. Just get quiet. Sit down. Turn off all this madness. Some of y'all got the TV, the computer, the phone ringing, the house phone ringing. You got people in the next room. Everybody got something going on, all kind of noise. But when do you get quiet? Some of y'all are so wired up, so keyed up all the time, you can't even sleep because all of that energy is still running through you. Hint, move your radios, your electronic devices away from your bed. Put it on the other side of the room because it's interfering. I know I kept waking up with nosebleeds. The inside of my nose would bleed. And it wasn't until I moved my clock radio away from my bed that it stopped. You got all these waves flying through your rooms. All out. It's ill affecting your health. Take an assessment. What do I need in this room? What don't I need? Go to sleep, people. Go to sleep. Stop trying to stay up all night long looking at all these crazy shows, being on the internet all hours of night. Your body needs rest. It repairs itself when you lay down and rest. Rest yourself. Get quiet. Get up. It's mothers. Get up a half hour before the family. My mother-in-law told me this. She said, look, get up a half hour before the family. Go take your bath or your shower. Brush your teeth. Take a nice cup of coffee or tea when it's quiet in the house before everything starts moving. Say your prayer, meditate, do a little yoga, whatever you got to do. Half hour, early in the morning, before everybody gets up. Set your day. Set your mood. Sit down and plan what you're going to do for the rest of the day. Or do that tonight just before you go to bed. Tomorrow I intend to do blah, 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 blah. And if you don't get blah, 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 blah done that day, the next day do it, write it again on the paper. And keep writing it. I look back on something. It took me 4 years to get it accomplished. But I finally did it because I kept putting it on the paper. Set goals for yourself. Don't have to be big, grand goals, but the little goal will get you to the next goal, will get you to the next goal, will get you to the bigger goal. And don't neglect your children for whatever your goals are. Don't neglect your children. They're going to be small one time, and they're going to grow very quickly. And you're going to look up, and they're going to be looking you in the eye, and they're going to ask you, why didn't you take better care of me? Why didn't you spend time with me? Why didn't you do the things that proved that you loved me? Do the things, not give the things. Do the things that show that you love your child. That means correct that child. No, you will not do that. That's not the way you talk to people. Sit up. Eat your food. Yes, you will eat your vegetables. No, you cannot have another candy bar. Yes, you will brush your teeth and take a bath and put on deodorant and keep your clothes clean. Yes, I will teach you how to take care of your clothing, your shoes, how to wash your clothes, how to comb your hair properly. I will not let you walk out the house like nobody loves you. Love is duty, people. That's what love is. It's not saying, I love you, baby, I love you. No, show that child you love them. Listen to them, for God's sake. Put the damn cell phone down and listen to your baby. Because who's ever on the phone says, excuse me, I'll call you right back. Because 9 times out of 10, it's not an emergency. You just run in your mouth. Put the phone down. You know, when we were young women, young married women, in our class, our Muslim girls training class, our captain told us, listen, when your husband comes home, get off that daggone phone. Don't be talking to another sister when he's walking in the house. It's his time. Ask him, what does he need? How can I help you? Hey, how was your day? And your husband may not want to talk to you right away. So if he goes in another room, close the door, leave him alone. Because he might have to shake off whatever horror that he met during the day. Do you know what it's, can you imagine, sisters, what it is like to be a black man in America? Public enemy, number one, from the moment you walk out your door, you got to pray to God that you get back. Because you don't know when another black man or a cop or a white woman, somebody going to shoot you or frame you, send you to jail for no reason. Do you know what that's like? Do you know the stress that puts on our men? So then the moment he walks through the door, you give him more stress. You don't say, hey, baby, I have your dinner ready. Would you like to take a hot bath? How many of you ever done that for your husband? Run him a bath of water. And said, baby, here, soak for a minute. I have your dinner. Let me know when you're ready to eat your dinner. You say, well, that nigga better do that for me. Stop it. Stop it. That's not your role. The Quran says the man is the maintainer of women, and the devil flipped that upside down. He'll gladly give you a higher paying job than your man. Be woke. We got changes to make if we're going to survive this white supremacist atmosphere that's out here right now. We got to come back together. We were together in 65, 69. 70. Then all of a sudden, the honorable Elijah Muhammad departed from among us. And what was the song? It's your thing. Do what you want to do. Because I can't tell you who to sock it to. What? And we went for that. And it began to spiral, unravel all of the works that so many had worked and died for, began to unravel. Hollywood helped it. The record industry helped it. The white women's liberation movement helped it. And we got duped into thinking that we needed a job. Hell, we had a job for 350 years for free. They wanted to push you out to make sure your man never overtook them. But guess what? They did it anyway. They did it anyway. So now this man is mad. You had a black president. That was never supposed to happen in America. You got a black number one seeded tennis player. That wasn't supposed to happen. You wasn't supposed to be able to play hockey. You daggone sure wasn't supposed to get any medals in swimming. Damn, man took everything from us. Well, it wasn't yours to begin with, white man. You lied to yourself, and the lie has caught up with you. You were never superior to us. And we ain't never worried about being superior to you because all we had to do was be us. Come on, now y'all know all y'all got to do is be you. And guess what? Everything you sing, everything you wear, everything you do becomes the trend. Because you're all a little gods. You can't help yourself. You poor as church mice, and you make it a style, whatever it is you had to do. You took the hat. You took the garbage man's hat. Made it look okay. Whatever you were, whatever we had, we made it into something that was of value. And then we allow people to take it from us and make money on it. Just sit down. Sit down and write down every commercial that you hear for the next hour on television and how many of them are black people's songs that they stole. And they're using them to sell you back something. Wake up, people. This song that you hear as my intro, wake up, everybody. We need a little help because we can't do it alone. We can't do it alone. We need some help, y'all, to save our world. We ain't worried about saving everybody else's world. Let's get out of that. We got to save our world. I got to go. You've been listening to Mother's Milk. I pray that I gave you something to think about, something to grow about, and something to love. The minister ended his speech last night with what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Not love for everybody else, love for yourself, love for your ancestors that allow you to stand here, and love for those who you all have produced. All of you, I greet you in our peace of Assalamu Alaikum. And God willing, I'll talk to y'all next week. You've been listening to Mother's Milk. My name is Samia Safir Muhammad. Peace.